Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of Revealing the Jihad and Terrorism of Islam. In our last program, we talked about the four reasons which were given by the liberal and those who claim to be moderate Muslim in America of why the violence. First of all, we learned that there is no such a thing as self-radicalization. For all Muslims who practice jihad did not make themselves radicals because of something they ate or something they drink, but simply because of what is written in their holy books, that is, the Quran, which is Allah's word, and the Hadith, which is Muhammad's words. And in our last program, we learned that the liberal media has given us four reasons. The first reason was that these people are uneducated, and we found this reason to be a lie. Why? Because there are many people who are uneducated all over the world who do not do these violent acts. And the other reason is that most of the leaders of Muslim jihadi were very educated with master and doctorate degrees. The second reason given was that these people are poor, and that was another ridiculous reason. Why? The answer was because, as we found, there are plenty of poor people all over the world who do not perform these wicked acts. And the second reason is that most of these Muslim jihadi organizations are very wealthy, with not only millions of dollars, but now in the billions of dollars. And the third reason which was given for why the violence was that these people are mentally ill. And as we found in our last program, that's not true for many of the leaders, and those who perform this violent jihad and terrorism are highly educated and held very high positions. Some of them are pilots, doctors, teachers, and leaders in many aspects of life. That's why we cannot say that they are mentally ill. This reason can only be true if only the media and those moderate Muslims will confess that Allah was mentally ill, and so was Muhammad, the messenger of Allah. As for the fourth and the final reason why the violence, it was said that these people misunderstood and distorted Islam. And as I shared so many times in the past, I repeat again, no, these people simply practice the teachings of Allah in the Quran and the commands of Muhammad in the Hadith. And the leaders of those Muslims are very educated. They know exactly what Allah said, and they know exactly the interpretation of the Quran by all Muslim scholars. I do not believe that George W. Bush or Barack Hussein Obama or any Muslim in America has hardly any education about Islam and the teaching of Allah in the Quran and the commands of Muhammad in the Hadith when we compare all their knowledge with the knowledge of Khalifa Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, that is, the Khalifa who is leading ISIS today in the countries of Iraq and Syria. Therefore, there is no such thing as these people misunderstanding the Quran or distorted Islam. A simple reading to the words of Allah in the Quran will bring us to the same conclusion, that the only reason for violence is the words of Allah and the commands of Muhammad. And as Muhammad lived the last 10 years of his life practicing violence, so are all Muslims who follow him, simply because they believe in him and they're not only willing to obey the words of Allah, but also to die for Allah. That is, by performing jihad for the sake of Allah. And now I would like to continue our study with you to see if this was just violence or is this Islam. Let us listen first to Frank J. Salufo, who stated,
"There have been over 80 jihadist terrorist plots in America since 9/11. Most were prevented, according to the Congressional Research Service report, as stated by Frank Salufo of the Homeland Security Policy Institute.
So now we ask the question again. Was this just violence, or was this the jihad and terrorism of Islam in America? I guarantee you, my dear brothers and sisters, if I ask any one of you, can you name for me 8 out of these 80 jihad attacks in America? You will not name them. Why? Because you do not know anything about them. Why? Because our government under Barack Hussein Obama and before that under George W. Bush, they did not name them correctly. They just simply said these are just simply acts of violence. As any community carry violence, so this is what happened in America. But the reality is, these 80 attacks were led by Muslims, and each and every one of these Muslims assured us in their own action and in their own words, in their own personal testimony, we have carried that jihad, that violence in America, because simply we are Muslims and we believe in jihad and we want you, Americans, dead. That is the reality. Now let's listen together to Catherine Herridge and see what she thinks about what's happening in America since September 11 until today. Were these 80 attacks on America, the one we know of, just violence, or was it the jihad and terrorism of Islam? Here are Catherine's own words.
The government agencies responsible are downplaying each of these incidents and terror plots, according to Catherine Herridge, chief intelligence correspondent for Fox News. She said that it is easier to, quote, pretend, unquote, that these are just isolated individuals who have other issues.
So our friend Catherine is in agreement with Frank Salufo about these 80 attacks which already took place in America just after 9/11. But she went a little bit deeper to say that our government is doing everything it can, downplaying each of these incidents. And they're not telling the American people the truth about what is behind each and every one of these incidents. Our government is telling us they're not terrorists and they're not connected to each other. That is what Catherine told us. But in reality, my dear friends, we can go through each and every one of these 80 incidents. And you will see they are connected. They are connected beyond our imagination. First of all, they connected to each other's belief, which is the written words of Allah in the Quran and the commands of Muhammad in the Hadith. If we met and talked with each and every one of these jihadi, you will see that all of them are declaring to us that they are Muslims first, they obey Allah, and they obey Muhammad, they obey the teachings of the Quran and the commands of Muhammad. That's why they carried out or tried to carry out these attacks on America. All 80 attacks we know of are led by Muslim believers who are willing not only to attack us, but even to sacrifice their life to live in obedience to Islam, which is the teaching of the Quran and the commands of Muhammad. Besides that, we know for sure that many of these people have met with each other here in America in different states and all over the world, as some of them were camping together in Yemen, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and many other places we do not even know of. Even after we killed Anwar al-Awlaki, amazingly, we discovered from the attack in Paris recently that the older brother by the name Sayyid was trained by Anwar al-Awlaki in the country of Yemen. So even after the death of some of the leaders of jihad, we see that their work continue after their death. Anwar al-Awlaki is just one man, trained the people who did the attacks in Europe, in Canada, and in America. And who knows who else will be carrying out some attacks all over the world who was trained in the past by Anwar al-Awlaki and others like him. But I want us to go to a third opinion, very important opinion. And this time we'll be hearing Judge Michael Mukasey, who stated,
former U.S. Attorney General Judge Michael Mukasey expressed concern that they are downplaying the connections to militant Islam.
Exactly. That is the truth. Our government is downplaying the connection to militant Islam. And I personally will not use the words militant Islam, but I will say true Islam. That is the practice of the words of Allah in the Quran and the commands of Muhammad in the Hadith.
In our short time together here on Revealing the Truth About Islam, we can only cover a portion of all that we would like to share. Please take a few moments today and visit our website at www.thestraightway.org to find more information about the Straight Way of Grace Ministry and the Darkness of Islam. Our website has several links to many resources for further study, including a detailed listing of the many seminars we offer on DVD. Topics include, is the Quran infallible? Has the Bible been corrupted? The treatment of women in Islam? Muhammad or Christ? What the Quran teaches about Jesus? And many more. Have you always wanted to read what the Quran actually teaches, but didn't know which translation to trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the many violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After several years of research and networking with scholars around the world, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry has recently offered the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever published. Filled with study notes to the reader and a careful comparison of key passages of the Quran and the Bible, this translation will arm you with the knowledge you need in reaching those lost in the darkness of Islam. Please take a few moments today and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org for all these resources and more. And now, back to our show.
Sadly, as I traveled recently all over the country, I shared this presentation revealing the jihad and terrorism of Islam. I asked many of my audience if they can name for me just 8 out of these 80 attacks, or say the attempted attacks. And sadly, I did not see even one hand was lifted up. The only difference between what's happening in America after September 11 and what is happening in Paris, for example, a few weeks ago, it is we are downplaying everything. We are renaming these groups and these jihadi by other names. We are not confessing to the American people the truth that we have Muslim terrorist attacks on us here in America. Not one, not 10, not 20, but at least 80 whom we know of. Perhaps the government know more than that, and they're not telling us. But that is the reality. We are doing everything we can not to upset the Muslim feelings, because we are playing this game with our future, our children, our grandchildren, our freedom to appease the Muslims. We're not going to say anything negative about these Muslim jihadi. As a matter of fact, we will just name that text something else. Maybe workplace violence or something else, to make sure that the word Muslim or the word Islam will not be mentioned in any negative way or in the midst of some negative words like the word jihad or terrorism. Why we're doing that? I do not know. But all I know, it is simply the practice of the political correctness, which started with George W. Bush a good 13 years ago, and will continue to practice this foolishness until the destruction of America is completed. Because the longer we wait without telling the truth about the jihad and terrorism of Islam, the more dangerous and greater the risk we will be facing here in America and all over the world. And once again here, I would like to remind you, my dear wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ, of a very important verse in the Bible. That is Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, which stated, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." The longer our government will hide the truth about Muslims, Islam, jihad, terrorism, the words of Allah in the Quran, the commands of Muhammad in the Hadith, Muslim plans even here in America, then for sure we will be destroyed. And I hope and I pray that you who are listening to me right now will not reject this knowledge which we are teaching to you throughout these broadcasts. Not only I want you to listen to this knowledge, but I want you to share it with others, that we must expose the truth about jihad and terrorism to all those who live around us, and that the truth may be told, because without the truth, we will never be set free. Now, I would like to share with you about some of these cases which our government hid from us, or literally named these Muslim barbaric attacks by something else other than the terrorism or the jihad of Islam. Let me first give you the name of the person to test your memory to see if you know anything about him. The first man I would like to talk to you about, his name is Ali Muhammad Brown. Once again, the name is Ali Muhammad Brown. Do you know anything about that man? Obviously not. You know why? Because that's one of the 80 cases which our government did everything they can to hide his action from us, the Americans. Here, listen to a quick summary to who is Ali Muhammad Brown.
Ali Muhammad Brown. He was recently charged in New Jersey in several killings. He was also involved in crimes in Washington State. He claims or takes credit for killing several for jihad. He has a history of violence connected to Islam, which seems to have started at age 15. He tried to attend terrorism camp in Bly, Oregon, the camp run by Abu Hamza al-Masri. The terror camp in Bly, Oregon, started by an American, James Dujama, and an imam from a mosque in Great Britain, Abu Hamza al-Masri, who began recruiting in the 1990s.
So Ali Muhammad Brown killed many Americans. We do not know the details, and I don't think we'll ever know how many he killed for the sake of Allah. But his confession is very important. He did not say that I did this because I was mad, or because I'm sick, or because I'm poor, or because I'm uneducated. No. None of the above. He did this because he believed in the Quran, and he practiced the teachings of Allah in the Quran, which commands him and every Muslim believer in America to perform jihad. That is a holy war to kill the Americans. And notice now there is connection between the following states: New Jersey, Washington State, Oregon, and then we add to America the country of Great Britain. You see now, this is not just one guy who is doing his dirty work by himself. No, he's working with others. He is literally a part of the International Ministry of Islam. And we know that he tried to get trained by Abu Hamza al-Masri. This is a man who was recruiting Muslims like Ali Muhammad Brown since 1990. That is a long 25 years. Abu Hamza al-Masri, if you remember his picture, he is a man who has a hook in his hand. Somehow he lost his hand in the war of Afghanistan. And he also have a problem with his left eye. This is a man who maybe soon we will be free in America to send him to the Middle East. Perhaps he may do a greater job than Bin Laden ever did in his life. How about the name Rupert Shimpert? Do you know anything about this man? Of course not. Why? Because our government did everything they could to cover him with chocolate. As a matter of fact, our government called him a good Muslim. Listen to the true account of Ruben.
Reuben Shumpert from Somalia. Living in Seattle, Washington, he owned Crescent Cuts Barbershop. An imam from the Abu Bakr Mosque, 500 feet away, hung out at his barbershop and taught about the jihad of the 19 hijackers. He was later charged with fraud in raising money for jihad. He was released from prison because he was a good Muslim. He then fled the USA before his sentence to fight with Somalia's Al-Shabaab. He was killed 2 years later by a U.S. forces drone attack.
So our friend Rupert here came from the country of Somalia, and he worked with the jihadi Al-Shabaab, and he was arrested because he raised funds for jihad. But somehow our, quote, the Department of Intelligence, unquote, found him to be a good Muslim. You know, every time I hear the word good Muslim, especially when we tie it to Muslim jihadi, It honestly make me sick to my stomach. Why is that? Because there is no such a thing as a good Muslim, especially when you know him, his tie to jihad. He's bringing all the money, all the fund the Shabab Jihadi organization needed in Somalia to kill the Christians, to burn the churches, to kidnap their women and their children. And our government here freed this man because he was what? He was a good Muslim. Really? And they released him until the trial date. And guess what our intelligence did? They actually let him have his passport. And I don't know what Mr. Rubin needed his passport for. Maybe he's going to buy food with it? Or maybe he will travel with it? I think the only reason people have a passport is to travel with. And this good Muslim knew how to escape simply because of the ignorance of our intelligence, who gave him his passport. And believe it or not, if he is still in prison today, he most likely would be released by Barack Hussein Obama. But somehow he was able to escape and went to Somalia to fight with his true brothers in Islam, Al-Shabaab. And he was killed by a USA forces drone attack, which most likely cost us few million dollars 2 years ago. Do you see now what our government is doing to us? In our next broadcast, we will continue with a few of the people on the list of these 80 attacks or attempted attacks on America since September 11, which our government tried to hide from us. We will be talking about Sheikh Ibrahim, John Allen Muhammad, and Lee Boyd Malvo, Najibullah Zazi, Major Nidal Malik Hassan, the Tsarnaev brothers, and Alton Nolan, and more. So until we meet again to continue our study of revealing the jihad and terrorism of Islam, please join us again for the next broadcast. And may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.